whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning, and I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. Oftentimes, the realities of life transform many of us into the consummate skeptic. As Christians, the most important thing we have is faith. It is only through faith that we can maintain a relationship with Christ. This morning, we look to 2 Kings chapter 5, where we find the story of Naaman, a military commander who contracted leprosy. Though he was initially offended, Naaman eventually follows the prophet's instructions for healing. Listen now as Pastor Holland begins his two-part series entitled, All It Takes is a Little Faith.
Have your Bible, 2 Kings chapter number 5. Preached many times on Naaman, but today I want to zero in, if I could, on the matter of the faith that he needed in doing what he was told to do by the prophet of God. You know, I've titled the message today, All It Takes is a Little Faith. I want you to know that I got saved by faith, and I've lived by faith, and everything I do must be by faith because I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're people that like to see things in concrete. We like to see something before we really believe it is what it is. We want to touch it, we want to hear it, we want to smell it, we want to taste it, and we want to experience it ourselves before we really are willing to accept it as it is. But you know, someone can describe the Grand Canyon to you. They can tell you how vast it is, how magnificent it is, and how pretty the sky is, and the sunset, and all the things that is there. I'm grateful. A few years ago, I had the privilege of going there and experiencing for myself, and again, I must admit, it was a great deal different than I'd anticipated and thought it was when I viewed it with my own eyes. Someone can tell you what it feels like to hold your child for the first time. And I tell you, that's a thrill. I remember the day that I got to hold mine when they was born, and I could have never known the feeling. I could have never known the experience of the joy until I experienced it in my own life. Somebody can tell you how moving a piece of music can be, but there's never a time that we can feel that piece of music is anything to us unless we hear it ourselves. Somebody can tell you how delicious a good bacon tastes, and you can almost smell it even, but until you eat a piece of it, you're just never going to know how sublime and wonderful it is. Somebody can tell you how honeysuckle smells, but until you place your nose down to it and get a whiff of it, you'll never know just how sweet a honeysuckle may be. But we hear about things of others. We hear things that other people do. They give their descriptions, and we listen very carefully. But you know, today in our lives, we want to know that things work. We want to know how they work, how they sound, how they feel, how they taste. And that's the physical world that we live in. But there's another world that we live in today, not just in the physical realm. And I'm grateful for it, but I'm talking about in the spiritual world. There's just some things in the spiritual world that we just have to operate on the basis of faith. Everything I do, the Bible said, by grace are you saved through faith. The Bible said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we cannot judge things in the spiritual realm by seeing them or tasting them or smelling them or touching them. We must live in the spiritual world resting upon the operation of faith. I'm glad today that I've got a book that describes to me everything I need to know about God, about the Word of God, about the place that I'm going when I die, about the place that I need to avoid going when I die. And I'm grateful for that. And you said, well, preacher, how do you know it? I know it by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Word of God that He has given to us. Now, in our text today, we find a man by the name of Naaman. Naaman, as you know, the Bible speaks of, was a man that lived in this physical world. His world was a world of war. It was a world of following commands. It was a world of concrete realities. But there came a moment in Naaman's life where he had a problem, and it was a problem of leprosy. We find here that this came the time when he literally, the only way that he could be healed was by faith. I want to take Naaman's story today, if I could, and share with you how experiencing and knowing something that cannot be touched, cannot be heard, cannot be seen, cannot be smelled, nor tasted. I want to talk about something that we only know by the word of faith. I want to preach to you today on the subject of all it takes is a little faith. Now, notice the details of the story. I'm just going to read verse 14 right now, and then we're going to come back and look at the remainder of it. But the Bible said, then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. The Bible introduces Naaman, and he's at the top of his game. We find here that Naaman is a top military official. No doubt he's a great general. He's a great commander of his troops. The Bible said that he's a great man with his master. The word great speaks of his social status. The king held Naaman in high regard. And Naaman was a man of high status. The Bible said he was an honorable man. And he was a man the world lifted up. The word honorable means lifted up. He earned his reputation because God had given him Syria to deliver the people from Syria and their enemies. The Bible goes on to tell us that he was a mighty man of valor. In other words, this phrase means he was a capable warrior. He was a hero in the eyes of the king of Syria and in the eyes of the people of Syria. In short, Naaman was a great man. There's nothing bad that we can even find here to say about him. You know, we live in a society today where there's a lot of people that fall into that category. They live a great life. They're respected. They're respected by their neighbors. They're respected by their boss. They're respected by the people that they work with. And yet they're looked upon as being good people. But friend, being all the good you can is not good enough in the spiritual realm. You must have faith in God. To be seen as a great person by someone who loves you is a wonderful privilege. I want people to think good of me, but it makes no difference how good somebody may think I am. The truth of it is, in reality, how good am I? Have I, by faith, put my faith in Christ to trust Him in order that He might meet my need? And so we see here the importance of Naaman's character. I hear people all the time say, well, if anybody goes to heaven, I know they will, or I know he will, or I know she will, because they were just wonderful people. Friend, Naaman was a wonderful man, but he had leprosy. And the fact of it is, no matter what people thought of him, he still had a problem. And the only way the problem could be solved would be by his faith in doing what the man of God commanded him to do. Now, Naaman's complication is explained in verses 1 in the latter part. The Bible said that he was a man of his master, honorable because of him. The Lord had given him deliverance into Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but the last phrase was, but he was a leper. He was a great man, but he had leprosy. You know, today in our society, we don't hear so much of leprosy. And by the way, it's called by another name today, and it still, I guess, happens. We live in a society today where the big word is cancer. And I tell you, cancer is an awful thing, and many of you have experienced it. And I'm grateful for those who God has allowed to overcome that and be able to beat it. But friend, today, I don't care how good you are. It makes no difference how much money you got. It makes no difference if you're a mighty man of valor. It makes no difference how people look at you. The fact of it is, if you've got cancer, the only person you can trust in is God Himself. I'm grateful today that we have doctors, and I'm glad today that we have hospitals, and I'm glad today we have places to go to get help. But friend, our help comes from the Lord, and we must have faith enough as a child of God to believe in Him. I want you to notice his leprosy was in early stages. When the man of God came and told Naaman what he had to do, go dip in the Jordan, it was a dirty river, you go down there and dip 7 times and you'll be healed. He got angry and he got mad. He said, surely I thought when I came out that he would just strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. I want you to know today, leprosy is called Hansen's disease today. It's an infectious bacterial disease. It can be cured today, and we're grateful for that. But in Naaman's day, a diagnosis of leprosy was a death sentence. There wasn't any medication. There wasn't anything. It was incurable, and yet it can be treated today. Leprosy affected the whole body. Now, it covered the body in a white, scaly spots. As the disease progressed, the body would be covered with pus-filled noodles. The appearance of a leper's face would be altered so that the sufferer could come to resemble a lion. The body of the leper was in a state of decomposition. A terrible stench surrounded the leper continuously. Leprosy attacked the nervous system, compromising the body's ability to feel pain. It acted as an anesthetic, numbing of the body. A simple injury could result in terrible trauma to the body. Rats and other vermins would often chew on sleeping lepers, and they wouldn't even feel it. Leprosy usually ran its course in about 9 years. When death did come, the leper didn't die easily. His death was long, lingering and terribly painful. Oftentimes it would eat off the extremities of a man's face, his nose, his ears. But one of the worst aspects of leprosy was not how hard it was and how awful it was and how bad it smelled. The awful thing about leprosy was the social stigma that was attached to it. The Levitical law was very clear in its commands to the leper. The Bible uses leprosy, by the way, as a picture of sin and its effect on our lives. The leper was considered the embodiment of impurity. The external defilement of the disease was seen to represent the internal defilement of the heart. But you are a sinner, and so am I. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, there's none righteous, no, not one. In Leviticus 13, the Bible gives the commands for diagnosing and dealing with the leprosy. Leprosy is deeper than the skin. Leprosy is the disease that begins with exposure to the bacteria carried by somebody who already has the disease. It can exist within a person's body for 5 to 20 years before it manifests its symptoms. It's the disease that begins within a person which eventually produces outward signs of its presence. Isn't that much like sin is today? I tell you today, I look out and I see a wonderful group of people. But I tell you, we never know what's hidden on the inside of a person today. And no matter what it is, we do understand that every one of us, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that we took upon ourselves sin. And no matter what, we all need to be sure that our sins have been forgiven. You ever heard stories of people that one day their sin was exposed? People say, well, man, I never would have suspected that. But yet sin manifests itself inside a long time before it manifests itself outside. And you may hide your sin, but friend, be sure your sin will find you out. And truthfully today, it will manifest itself in an outward way, and it will be revealed. Leprosy starts small, and then it spreads. A leper might notice a tiny spot on his skin one day, and it won't be long until his flesh is consumed with that loathsome disease. And this leprosy is a picture of sin. When David sinned with Bathsheba, a little spot of laziness and lust turned into a plague of adultery, pregnancy, lies, and even murder. Like David, we live like we believe. There's no harm in a little sin. In fact, I'd venture to say today that every person that we find that has gone off the deep end, it all started small. I've heard people say, well, I became an alcoholic, but I didn't just happen overnight. Somebody encouraged me and said, come on, just take a drink. It won't hurt. Just a little bit won't hurt. But I got news for you a little bit. It'll take you further than you want to go, friend. It'll lead you down a path that'll destroy your life. And before you know it, that little bit will be turned into a great bit. And you'll find yourself in a position that you don't want to be in. Ted Bundy was a man that murdered many, many women. And yet when he was in prison, there was many ministers and people that went to see him. Even Dr. James Dobson had the privilege of getting in and seeing him. And what he did, he took it all back to his days of being introduced to pornography. And how that all started. And it seemed simple and it seemed small, but in all reality, one day it exploded and it came to control him rather than him controlling it.
Leprosy is symbolic of sin. Both start with what seems insignificant, but grows out of control. Jesus' death on the cross paid the ultimate price, allowing us to break the bondage of sin. The choice is yours. Will you choose the superficial pleasures of the world or the joy of eternal salvation? All it takes is faith. Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.